Hi everyone, welcome to another edition of Soap from the Box, the podcast where I interview actor mates I've directed in some of the country's leading continuing dramas. EastEnders, Coronation Street, Emmerdale, Casualty, Hollyoaks. And my guest today is very special. She played an iconic role in one of the biggest storylines Coronation Street's ever seen. She was also in Emmerdale, and she was also in what I think is the most groundbreaking television show ever to have been on, Queer as Folk. My guest is Denise Black, and I started by asking her what it's like to be such an icon to gay men and gay women around the world. I'm sure you get that. You've been such a momentous part in so many gay men's lives.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. Straight in with that.
It's like a medal. Do you know what I mean? It's like being given the OBE, or as my friend Timothy Shaw called it, the OBSE. But I describe it as having an angel on my shoulder. I think Hazel looks after me, same as she wants to look after those boys on the in the water.
How fantastic.
So, there we go.
And we're going to talk a lot about Queer as Folk again in a bit. But what we're going to do is, obviously, Soap from the Box. We're going to talk about Corrie and Emmerdale first. We're going to talk about you then. So let's start with Corrie, which is now 1992, as Denise Osborne, you went in.
1992!
It's so scary, isn't it, when I'm doing these dates and you think, oh, because it doesn't feel that long ago, but then it does feel ages ago.
Okay, hang on a minute. I'm going to give you the facts. 1932. I'm born 58. So, not 32. 1992.
I was gonna say,
I'm really good
so
at maths, everybody. It's lucky I'm an actress.
You're looking so good for your age.
How old
Denise.
Am I? Am I 34?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm 34, and it's a job of a lifetime. I'm 34.
Oh, my God.
But let's get real. I'm 62. Okay.
Yes, yeah, so
that's how long ago
it's
it
mad,
is.
Isn't it?
Yeah. That's
I mean,
real.
What was it like? You said a job of a lifetime. I mean, to go into something. I mean, I think Corrie is the one. Corrie's the one that everyone is. You know, Ian McClellan's been it. Everyone. I mean, when you got the job, did you walk on that first day and think, God, this is immense?
I certainly did, but not for the same reasons. Because in those days, Corrie was old school. And my exec, who created the part along with the big team and then gave me the part, said, look at all the major characters and learn.
Yes.
Yeah? And, like, there was a bun fight between Lynn Perry and me.
You had the...
Well, it's a Brennan. Brennan and Denise Osborne. And it's a bun fight. It's going to be a bun fight. And in those days, it was so exciting. They switched off the relay, which used to be available all around the old Granada, you know, before we all got big and went to Salford.
Yes.
And everything was small and quaint, wasn't it?
The old set was...
closed the whole set... all the relay, and the producers came down to watch the bun fight, and they said, oh, I love a cat fight, you know.
Oh, wow.
So you kind of knew. It was so exciting, and I learnt bucket loads off Lynn Perry, who I would love to talk about. But there's almost nobody in the cast who I wouldn't like to talk about, because they were so interesting and such remarkable actresses.
Yes.
And actresses. I mean, remarkable.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think that's the thing about soap that we know, and that people listening to this might not know, of how hard soap is, because everything's filmed out of order.
Yeah.
There's so much of it.
Yeah.
It's an intense...
Militant. You know, people say that you're just being yourself. Sorry, you're so far off being yourself, because you have to say the words that are scripted.
Yes.
And you have to stand within 1 millimetre of where the director,
yes,
bastard, tells you, wait on the left leg. You're thinking, but will the words come out of my mouth? Because sometimes you only saw them that morning.
Yes. Oh, no, I know. Yeah.
Whole swathes of it.
And we would only have, don't we, on soap nowadays, you only have like 40 minutes to film a scene. I mean, when you joined back then, it must have been that there would have been less episodes. Was it a bit more?
It was completely different.
It was completely different.
I think there were two episodes when I went in. Two a week.
This is Denise's dog running around.
Yes, clippity clip. Me and Nora.
Yeah.
Look on my Instagram and you'll see Nora.
She's investigating.
She's my lockdown friend. And we love it. Oh, she's now going in your bag.
She's investigating all of my stuff, yeah.
Right. What we were saying, it was different. There were two a week. It was a very much smaller team. We all stayed in one extremely smoky green room. I didn't get a dressing room for 7 months.
Really?
I bought a camper van to sit in outside.
Wow.
And Eileen Derbyshire, Emily Bishop, and I'm going to get everybody wrong now. Vera.
Vera. Brilliant Liz Dawn.
There you go. Yeah. Knock on the door of my camper van. Hello. They go, oh, this is a good idea. It was a very different world.
Wow.
All the Pats could see us like there was no... We were like in a zoo. The big long lenses were down on us.
Yes.
We got the scripts of Forgotten when it was a very exciting day. I read all of them. I knew everybody's story.
Right, okay.
And then we blocked. Basically, that was a quick... We went in, the director said, there, Bosch, out. Then we teched, which was where we ran
them
in story order in front of all the crew.
Wow!
In front of all the crew. And that helped you get the whole arc of what you had
yes.
to do. All right, cut to many years when I come back in 2007 and we are a very
20 minutes.
Yeah.
We block, we long
now,
run.
Now, I forgot what you call it. When you do the 2 weeks, very intense, so that you can have 2 weeks off at Christmas, so you do twice as many.
Oh, yes. I can't remember what it is. Yes. So basically, for everyone listening, near Christmas, we do kind of an intense period where we do double the amount of episodes so everyone can have 2 weeks off at Christmas.
That, my friends,
yes, is
if you are an actor in storyline, is, you know, just your ticket to work yes. on that house because you have so many lines to learn. And you don't know where you are.
No.
You see the actors barreling around. They are masters that they can put in a performance.
And like we said, when you joined... Hello, doggy. Do you want cuddles?
Yes. Say hello to
Denise. Hello to everyone listening.
She says, I'm a jackapoo and what I want is a cuddle.
Yes, she's not bothered about Coronation Street.
No, she's really not.
But when you joined, like we said, you had Liz Dawn, Annie.
I loved all of them.
And you went in, obviously, with this amazing story that I think will be one of the living legend stories of soap. The
Babs
Big Affair with
Knox, Rita. Oh, my God, I love them all. Mavis.
Knox, I know. Oh, Mavis.
She was my
never goddess. I've never met her because when I joined, just we keep going off tangent. When I joined, Annie Kelk... I mean, I'm so glad I got to meet Annie because Annie was just amazing.
Yeah,
like, mad
she was
and
divine.
Amazing.
She was divine.
And Bill is just gorgeous, isn't
yes.
he?
Yes.
I mean, I'm always surprised when someone's been in a show that long because I go in with the conception they're going to be a bit, you know, I'm new. Oh, God. And he was the loveliest guy ever.
I don't know Bill so well now. For years and years, I went in every time I went into Manchester because it's like my family. But it is difficult, you know. It moves
yes,
to Salford.
Of course. But
didn't think my second comeback was, you know, it was hard, and I was very grateful. Sorry, the first comeback, very grateful for the second. I felt put the
but
character.
But before he comes to the comeback, you've got to talk the original.
Oh,
the original story, which did set the country. Like, I mean, it was. I mean, nowadays, affairs are two a penny in soap, as we know. But there was something about that, wasn't it? But you going in and having an affair with Ken was...
I have no idea if that story had been run before, you know, because, like, Ken and Deirdre were kind of like royalty, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. Oh, yeah, they were.
Yeah, they were Charles and Camilla.
Yeah, and you were. No, you were Camilla and they were dying.
Oh, was I Camilla?
They were dying Charles, yeah.
I'm going to argue this one that they switched off the mic. And but that was a side track from what actually happened, because these things are organic.
Yeah.
They create characters to people, a community, to provide great entertainment. At 7 and 7:30, very particularly,
yeah.
which is a very particular time and has a very particular time in certain people's lives.
Yes.
So Denise took on a life of her own. I was warned. It says some characters we introduce with a big bang. Sometimes we dribble them in. And you'll be thinking, what the hell, you know, you,
yeah.
you go to...
Oh, they're not doing
you
much.
Go off to the loo for the yeah. third week running in your body.
Little
anything.
Do they know.
but I was a Big Bang character and she warned me that it either does or doesn't work. Well, it did. It obviously lifted off, but it didn't half change.
Yeah.
Because it started with a comedy story, being the siren, winding up Reg
Reg.
Duckworth and...
Yeah.
All this, yeah. And then moved on to just generally, I had a picture up in her flat when I went to see her flat the first day that it was ever built on set. Because you know very little about your character when you start on soap.
Yes. Oh, this
You're
is my
looking
house.
For clues. Oh, yeah. This is my house. What does it tell me about my character?
Yeah.
She was obviously anarchic and her own boss.
Yeah.
And do what she, and therefore, and people were saying she's not a new Elsie Tanner, is it? I'm clinging on. I've been told she is not a new Elsie Tanner. So I'm thinking, okay, so she's a new Elsie
she's
Tanner.
She's not. Yeah, yeah.
Study Elsie Tanner.
Yeah, yeah.
Like your life depended on, which I did.
Yeah.
Because in those very early days before I was there, do watch some vintage. I'm really black and white, but I'm encouraging you, dear listeners,
to watch some. Oh, God, you must if you haven't seen it.
Because we like each other. Yeah. And we have got a lot to catch up on, so let's be more disciplined. But it was delivered mind-breakingly fast. In order to deliver dialogue at that speed, you, the actor, have to be so on top of it.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I used to write down between when the other person was speaking what my character's thought line was.
Oh, really?
When I started for the first month. I mean, you're guessing, you're stabbing in the dark.
I know.
And the truth is, if you try and hold on to continuity in your character in the soap, you're dead.
Yeah.
You are allowed to say, my favourite colour is orange one week.
Yes.
You are allowed to say, I hate orange the next week. And people do in life, get over it.
But like you said, what you did, which I think a couple of other people have said, but you, when you go into a show like that, you do just really need to study it, because otherwise you can stick out like a sore thumb as well if you haven't really looked at how the... Because every show's got a kind of different vibe, hasn't it, as well, acting-wise.
Can you imagine the fear at the time?
And it was... I mean, it,
at
it
the
still
time,
is huge,
it was like,
it was...
On the omnibus, I think it was 16 million. So twice during the week and then an omnibus of the week.
And did you, when you took the part, do you kind of go, God, do I want to put myself... Obviously, it's amazing, but like you said, terrifying, because if it doesn't work out and people don't work out in soap, it can almost be detrimental, can't
no,
it?
No, I was oblivious.
Oblivious to all
that. I think that's the Denise personality.
Yes. Just go
I
for it.
I felt like I'd won the lottery and I was determined to do my best not to fritter all the money away and end up... ruined, you know. I was determined to go in. I wanted to make a presence, my presence known, and I knew that that meant years, because longevity is everything. Growing old in front of the camera is part of soap.
Yes, it is, yes.
Isn't it?
And it's what's, I think, and I say this, I think it's what's almost missing, because not many people stay in soap very long now. And it's, you're losing that, the history of all the soaps,
aren't you? Oh,
you
see, you're talking to a dinosaur, and I'm not that old.
No, but you know, there aren't many of the characters, you know, look, all the characters we mentioned there in Corrie, once all of those actors have gone that have been there 30 years, what I'm saying is newer actors, younger actors today, don't want to be in the show for 30, 40 years, do they? So it's going to be interesting to see what happens to soap.
I didn't want to be a lifer. I did want to use it as a platform. I'm going to say that now, because I'm older and I've got less to lose. It sounds so arrogant, and it is. And I didn't know whether I could pull it off, and I was bricking it. I was just going to give it my best
and did
shot.
You, so you decided to go, did you, when you were there the first time? Did you decide, right, I'm going to leave?
Yeah. We can jump cut to there presently, but for me, it was the break.
Yeah, the break.
That
yeah.
I've been looking for, and most unexpected, I did not expect as a Southerner, listen, this is actually my voice, right?
Yeah.
That I would do that. I spoke in a Northern accent in the green room for 6 months. Nobody knew I was Southern.
Really? Yeah. Oh, wow.
Nobody knew. In those days, I think they would have killed me. They didn't employ Southern actors to play Northerners. And
so did not even casting, though? You just...
Or... No, casting did know. No, casting said she's Northern. Great.
Oh, that's okay. Amazing. So for 6 months to the rest
I went
of the
to
cast.
Classes. I wow. went to Andrew Jack. I studied. I sort of got as much as I knew about the character, which was two lines, and worked out an accent. If you watch them methodically, as some people have done, and you're Northern, you might have noticed it migrate quite a lot in the first few months, but somehow they let me in.
Wow. So when did you come out as a Southerner? To them.
Oh, this is it.
Were they shocked? Were they shocked when you were like, this is actually how I speak?
I lose jobs. 4 years I lost jobs because I was a Northern actor, and there's this silly prejudice that if you're a Northerner, you don't get to play a Southern part. Now, I don't know whether it's the same, right? I've been around a long time, but I have had actors in my lifetime who have rude Northern actors that they are only seen as, right, they're Northern, so they're going
to
be Northern.
Yeah. I think it's in the casting room, and I've cast before, actually, and when I do acting classes, I say to people, we had to cast an Eastern European part in Holby City, and one guy came in with an Eastern European accent, and only after the audition, he said, oh, actually, I'm from...
Yeah, I've done that.
And it was amazing. And you got the part, because actually what it does is you don't question... You're not thinking at all how their accent is.
Ladies and gentlemen, I tried doing that to Ken Loach to get in one of his films. And I had to tell you it backfired.
Oh dear, what happened?
What are you doing?
Where were you pretending to be from?
Where he was born and bred and pulling it off. But Timmy Spall had said, I don't know why he's asked you to do this. Drop it. So he coached me in the accent. And then he said, drop it after 10 minutes to say, what's going on, Ken? I guess. I don't know. And he said, come back for a recall. And I came back from recall. And he said, no, you're wrong. The southern you is the wrong person. I've had that a few times.
Oh.
There you go.
So, as we said, so, I mean, there's so much to say. We could talk about Corrie for ages just when you were there. I mean, it was in 1993 in there as well. You also... Oh, no, I wanted to ask you about this storyline. In 1993, you got close with Don.
Yeah, there you go. That's the
bum fact. And the fact he had his foot amputated, and they brought your disability into the story, didn't they, with that?
Oh, listen, this story's out there.
Yeah, yeah. I just...
They said to me, they hold me up, Carolyn Reynolds, and she said, people are curious, and we were thinking of using it in the story to, you know, some kind of explanation. How would you feel about that? And I said, fine, you're not limited to the truth, any story you like, but please don't be embarrassed.
Yes, yeah, yeah. That's so what I love about you. You are you. It's not a
so
similar
So we cut to the scene. The scene is Don Brennan saying that since he lost his leg, he's felt like half a man. And I'm saying, look at me. It's never held me back. But... it. What's it?
Right, yeah.
Right, we need a shot, don't we? That's when we get embarrassed. Because my hand in close-up is a big statement on the television. And so the director was a little shy, which led to my favourite letter saying, I had no idea you had a prosthetic leg.
Wow.
I still think you're... it's a really good match to the other one.
Prosthetic leg.
And I still think you're really sexy, which was, I thank you,
whoever,
sir,
that
for
was. That's
that letter. It pointed out a little problem that we had in the camera storytelling. But I really loved the love that you gave me. Yeah, it was a really good storyline, that, wasn't it?
Yes. No, I
think Jeff was a fine actor.
Yeah, I think so. That's the power of soap, isn't it? Those things mean so much to people watching it home, because they watch it every day. They relate to these characters so much. They feel they know them. So we can, you know, and that's, what, 1993, doing a big story about disability, which is, but then, you know, nowadays it's very, you know, there's lots of stories
I beg to differ. Okay, the world has changed and I am in accord with positive discrimination, so really use disabled actors for disabled parts.
Yes, yes,
yes. Of course, the world has changed. I mean, there are certain things where it gets grey, like Dear Ricky Gervais and his brilliant Derek.
Yes,
where
yeah.
people said, why did he play Derek? They should have got someone more like Derek. But then someone more like Derek wouldn't have been able to learn so many lines and do such complicated
maneuvers. Or sell the series.
So they
like
missed
him,
the point. And Ricky came from a good place, not a bad place in that show, in my opinion. But I still think that we need positive reinforcements on television for disability. Just get people used to it. In fact, it's the big boost has come from the Paralympics.
Yes, yeah.
So now it's not disgraceful to talk about it. And I want to tell you, Lee, that it's only recent that I thought, Denise, you're going to come out. You do have a disability. It is a minor disability. But some people with disabilities and far more major... see it as an inspiration to see people with a disability on the screen.
Oh,
so we'll have
totally,
us on, please.
Totally, they do. Totally
and
they
not
do.
To feel cute about it. Yeah. That's, so I'll be an ambassador for
and
that.
And also, the character was never there for that. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't, oh, that's the character with the disability. It was ignored, which is, but that's how it should be
I
as well.
I will hide it if I don't want to tell that story. I
yes,
will do
yeah.
that, but I've done it at my personal cost. I've left it under the table and out of shot for too long. This has changed now. This is not recent. I'm freer with it. But I was so worried that it would lose me work, because it did sometimes. But the personal cost of that was I lost use of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, of course.
I held it up out the way.
Yes,
yeah?
of course. Yeah.
And the deterioration was pitiful. So I've learned. So I'm now stronger and I'm now saying it's not a big deal. It's a part of me.
Yeah, well,
yes,
all respect to you. It's and it is very, I think, for anyone... listening and watching that people like you are so inspirational, I think, and that's what people do need
Well,
to
we
say.
Don't think that, because we're just born and that's who we are, and if we get a job, we think we're really, really lucky and we do our best.
Yes.
But if I can be any use...
yeah, that's good. So, yeah, we'll whiz to this. So you left, obviously, and you went back in 2016.
Yeah. No, I went back in 2007.
Oh, 2007, yeah. You went back in 2007 first.
Yeah. I went back almost weeks after I'd left. To behave very badly in court and snatch the baby, I think, so that poor Dill Bill didn't have to act with a baby
for the rest of the thing. So get rid of the baby. I was going to, continue you disappear to Scotland or something?
I don't know too well. Yeah, I think did I run off with my brother-in-law?
Yeah, they were like, we don't want another child on set. Bring Denise back and get rid of it.
It's always an opportunity when your character behaves disgracefully. And we relish them, us actors, don't we?
Is it? I always think, does it allow you to kind of exercise some real part of you that you can actually go in? I love the idea of playing someone with a bit of a, you know, bat who says what they think and stuff, because you don't get to do that in real life. And you still stay friends with the other actors at the end of the day after you've had a bun fight.
I like a bit of both.
Yeah.
Because I like the comedy too.
Yes.
I mean, the thing about story is it's generated out of wrong decisions, isn't it?
Yes.
If we make all good decisions and we solve everything, where's the drama? It's made out of wrong decisions. So you've got a really good character if she can go all over the place, as she did. She went all over the place. And a lot of it was a function of the story. Annie becoming ill, Deirdre, led to Denise being put in a storyline with Ken. That was pure chance.
Yes.
How regretful. I don't want to gloat.
No, I know.
Dear Annie.
Dear Annie, because, yeah.
But I got luckier.
Yeah. Her gift to you.
Annie.
So, well, let's move on to, I mean, there's so much more Corrie. Move on to Emmerdale.
He's turned the page, everybody.
Emmerdale, the next page. I've tried to condense this into, because there's so much to talk about with you.
Am I the only person who's gone from one soap to another?
You're not.
I was in a quiz show recently, because somebody texted me and said, I got the answer.
Oh, really? I spoke to Glynis Barber the other day, and she did EastEnders and Emmerdale as well.
Damn. I know.
Hi,
Glynis.
It makes this much harder, because I have to read much more. But no, I was there at Emmerdale when you obviously joined as Joni Wright in 2013, grandmother to Kyle.
Yeah.
Obviously, Chelsea was playing Amy at the time. Big, I love Chelsea. Amazing. But you came in, you know, all the actors there are great, but you had some brilliant, but you had Charlie Hardwick, Jeff, Chelsea. I mean,
all of them. Jeff, who I'd known for years.
Oh, had you?
I've done radio shows with Jeff.
Ah, right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Tasty, eh?
I think everyone likes Jeff. But yeah, how was it coming back to a soap years later? Like we said earlier, things had changed. Did you find it easy?
My difficulty with Corrie was I didn't get any time with the kids. And it's different if you are a northern-based mother, because they're still going to the schools that they were always going to.
Yeah,
you still got the friendship group. I wasn't. I was a visitor. And that actually impinged very strongly on my personal life. I need to sort the family out. When I got Emmerdale, they were kind of done. They were on their way. I delivered. So now I could do soap again. And I felt that I had a really better attitude in that my attitude was never bad, but it was so much less chaotic. Emmerdale.
Right, yeah.
It's cool, isn't it?
Oh, God, it's so...
It's cool, and you don't have the paparazzi presence, and somebody's not currently in some personal meltdown involving the bloody... Oh, it's horrible.
And locations are nice, like the village is amazing.
Contract renewal. None of the principals, not Bill, not Richard, I'd use the character name, none of them presumed that they would get an extent.
Oh, wow.
In 1992.
Wow.
What a different world, eh?
Oh, today, yeah. God, yes. Totally.
There we go. So I found Emmerdale very calming. This is all inside stuff, isn't it? But the organisation, it was impeccable.
Yeah.
On Emmerdale. The scripts are ready and you knew roughly when to expect to be used.
Yes, ish.
In advance... I don't know, it could have been different for a director.
Oh, no. It's so organised.
It was much more tidy. Now, maybe Corrie is now. Maybe with these huge organisations, they are all like that now.
Well, I think...
But Emmerdale didn't. And so I had more hold on my private life. I could get to see who I want. I could have an outside life.
Well, I think now as well, because it's a bigger cast, you're not so... No one's as intense all the time. Do you know what I mean? So it is a bit more... I mean, you can have your weeks of being, but you wouldn't probably have 8 months of being solidly busy. Do you know what I mean now?
And you have the fun of a helicopter landing in the middle of a building in the middle of the countryside.
So some of the stories you're involved in the helicopter crash that was one of the big October storylines,
wasn't it? One of my favourite days ever.
I mean, I love doing stunts like that.
Oh, I love stunts.
Now, who died? It was the lovely...
character
Alicia, who played...
Oh, of course! Well, Alicia, I worked with in Bad Girls.
Of course.
Which really should be on your list.
Yeah, I've got Bad Girls. Yes.
Yeah, whereas I miraculously got under a table.
Yes.
And blinked my way back to...
But doing
happened?
Big stunt days like that are so much fun, aren't they? Oh. Because it's so... I mean, when we go to town on the soap, we go to town and it's great, isn't it?
Yeah. The happy vibe. You come to work, somebody nice has put a helicopter in the top of the roof.
Yes.
And you also, go down and you look at it and you go, oh, that is really good.
And
really
also loads really of cast are there. It must be great to do... Because often you're in your story, little storylines. Yes. It must be great when you do something with all the cast.
It's, also, now this was... I couldn't speak for anyone else, but when I was in Corrie, when I was ours, when they wanted me, I turned up. When I'd finished, I went home. I couldn't afford... If I had to do a public appearance, I would do it because I saw that as part of my work, but the rest of the time was my family's.
Yeah.
Whereas I was able to socialise. We'd go out for meals and things, and there was much more of a family feel.
At Emmerdale, yeah.
At Emmerdale.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, yeah. I think... I don't know what it is about Emmerdale. I don't know what. I just, yeah, it's got it. Out of all of them, it is the biggest family there, isn't it? I think because there's no airs and graces at all at Emmerdale. I mean, there really isn't. There's no hierarchy or anything at Emmerdale. It's very much.
Oh, hang on a minute. Zach Dingle's the top of the hierarchy.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Well, and then we have his son.
And I was going to say, so.
Who's next and questionably top now? There's a very strict hierarchy.
In Coronation Street, you obviously went in and got with the Charles and Di at the time.
Yeah.
And then Emmerdale, I mean, I wouldn't call Lisa and Zach Charles and Di, but. Again, oh. A huge couple. I mean, literally.
Listen, when they got rid of me and loved. I wasn't happy, but you just have to roll with the punches. That is how it happened. I do agree that if you're going to run a story like that, the character who is expendable, unless you are actually breaking the couple up, the story, because they are kind of the heartbeat,
yeah.
Both of them. They're kind of moral ground as well, bizarrely. I mean, I don't know why Ken Barlow's serial...
I know, yes, yeah, I know.
Serial lover, never held down a relationship ever. But at least he stayed on the same street. He's got a heart of gold. And, you know, there's nothing. He's not divisive. You, that is sort of the heartbeat of the soap, those couples. So if you go in and muck with it and cause them terrible distress...
You need to go.
You need to go.
Yeah. I mean, I actually, what I don't know how you feel about this. I sometimes feel sad that everyone has to, you know, Zach and Lisa for me, you know, not everyone has bloody affairs. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes I know it's.
I would prefer.
I just would love a couple to stay a couple. Do you know what I mean? And actually not be broken up for once in a soap.
Oh, dear. You know, the moment you get the story, the first thing I do is surrender any judgment on
it.
Is this a good story or a bad story? It's a story. Thank you. You are giving me scenes. Thank you. Now, my job is to fire as many fireworks in my artillery as I can to make everyone go, "Ooh, this is a good story."
yeah.
That's my job.
Yeah.
So I can't be thinking, oh, I hate this story.
Oh, yes. No, yeah, totally.
Because then you'd go in half cock, wouldn't you? So you give everything your best. Be secretly no, don't you? When you're on a good one.
Yes. Oh, totally. And the Dingles are just a family again, just out there on their own, aren't they? They're brilliant. So you ended up staying almost 2 years in Emmerdale, didn't you?
I can't tell you.
Yeah, you did.
Almost did
2 years. Yeah. So you had a long rule, and you died.
I did.
When Lisa found out. No, Lisa had got you had gone to prison. Lisa, you picked you up, and she told you that she was back with Zach, wasn't it? And you had a heart attack in the car.
I don't know, darling. I think I died of an ad break.
I always wanted to say having a heart attack, I always think is one of the hardest things to act because not many people
Nobody
do it
ever
well.
Told me it was a heart attack.
Oh, didn't
My dad, who was terribly critically ill towards the end of his life and has had a heart failure since 1992 when I got the job. He had a heart turn and he had it pretty bad. So I'd watched a couple of episodes. So I was just doing one of those, but we didn't have time to film it because I was supposed to roll out the van onto the floor.
Oh.
It was dark and wet. So we went, nah.
Just fall against the window.
Fall against the window. Cut to the ads. Lisa comes in. Oh.
Oh, that's, and thus is soap. Right, we are going to go to the real you now.
Oh,
we're going to move from Corrie and Emmerdale.
What about Bad Girls?
You were born... We're going to get to Bad Girls.
Okay.
If someone knows. You were born in Hampshire.
Yeah.
To a bank teller mum, Stella, and a lieutenant engineer in the Navy.
Electrical
dad,
engineer.
Don. Electrical engineer. Now, they're quite firm jobs. Did you have a quite strict upbringing?
Very strict. there's something about the services. I really can't speak for now, but I'm growing up when a time when all women try to look like the Queen. They all have their hair done that way.
Right.
Everybody aspires to speak better unless they're devoted to the working class. There's this ridiculous attempt to learn to do a strange kind of talking.
Yes.
What are you doing?
The BBC voice.
Hello.
Yes, I love it.
Hello. Keystone here.
Yeah. Your dad built a wooden motorboat. Because you still sail all the time, don't you?
Yes. It's a perfect antidote to acting. Because it gets rid of... soap, let's go back to soap, is very intense on the brain.
Yeah.
I have a theory that there's actually stress related to learning so many lines. Your short-term memory goes, I can't chuck this as fast as you want to chuck it in. You know, hello, just give me 2 days off.
Nina Wadia said to me that she was just sat for a scene and she just went blank.
I have one with Emily Bishop and Ken Barlow. Forgive me if I... So we know the actors.
Yeah.
And we all looked at each other and it went on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Nobody could think. Nobody could save the day. And then, of course, we fell about laughing. That is an okay experience. Of course, the crew get pissed off very quickly when the actors are giggly.
And I'm terrible in the gallery because I join in. I find it hilarious when something goes wrong because then what I love is when you do it again, it gets earlier and earlier that you start thinking of the thing that went wrong. And you start breaking.
But you and I probably love soap for very different reasons to people who watch it, because being inside making it is so exciting.
Yes, it is.
It's like you've been let into the secret, you know, the famous five or so. All those bits of tape that are holding the lanterns where they are.
Yes,
know,
all the...
Just 2 inches out of frame. Oh, yeah. No, we saw it.
Well, I remember, I mean, when I joined Emmerdale, I mean, I was naive, I suppose, because I was a director, but I hadn't directed drama. And I was astounded when I walked into the studio. I mean, everything was... My biggest one was actually on EastEnders. I'd worked on Emmerdale and Coronation Street by this point. And I was like, those stairs in the Vic are definitely up to the upstairs. They must have a double level thing. Because you always say... And they don't. And literally, they were all... Barbara would do that, the whole step thing.
Well, but Jack Duckworth and Reg Holdsworth, that's how they arrived in Denise's flat. Day one, week one, whatever it was. They had to be...
Down.
Yeah, they were crouched down because they hadn't had time to build the stairs. But the forgetting lines, if it actually becomes scary, is dangerous to an actor, because an actor kind of relies on being able to learn lines. And I don't think any of us know exactly how we do it.
No, I don't know how you
know how we do it. And we've all got a relationship
but
with
I think
it,
it's part of your...
And if you lose that
how
face,
do you learn lines? Do you kind of take them? Do
it's
you...
changed all the way through.
Right.
So I'm not trained. So it's always... I've always been chaotic and felt very bad about that. Until I read Judi Dench's autobiography, in which she said she was completely lost the whole way through rehearsal and they only came together on the first night. And a lovely actress called Ellie Haddington, this is theatre, said, during rehearsal, think of it as trying on lots and lots of costumes and first night's going on naked and them telling you which one they want you to wear.
Right, okay.
Like, okay, so it's out, there are other chaotic, but it's a very weird process.
And do you find, and we'll get to theatre, do you find theatre, because theatre obviously... If you go wrong, you go wrong and people see you go wrong. At least in telly, if you go wrong, you know, you do it again. Is it more scary?
I have never had sharp fear on set. If I've gone wrong, I mean, you know, and so the actors try not to say cut.
Yes.
The first trick
That's
I...
That's one of these rules that I got told as director. Don't let the actors aren't supposed to say cut.
Just don't say cut.
And actually, I learned why, because when I started directing drama, you realise that someone else can be given the performance of their life. And you still might be getting a great kind of reaction. And if someone else was to cut it, do you know what I mean?
Except we never cut from one take to another in those days. I don't know if you do now.
Well, we try. Well, you might be able to for someone. Yeah,
it's almost live.
Yes,
soap is almost.
Did you do any of
the live? It's almost like cross arch theatre in many, many ways.
Did you do the live Emmerdale? You didn't, did you?
Hmm?
Did you do the live Emmerdale?
No, I did live The Bill.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I remember the bits of that. We're talking years ago now.
Yeah.
God, I remember.
I was so scared. The adrenaline of that was so hard to handle that when I came off in the rehearsal, I had jumped a line, which had muddled the actor because he had something very pivotal to say and I wasn't given the feed. We all hate an actor who muffs the feed. And so I was really concerned to get it right. But actually, I had so much adrenaline on the live one that when I came off, and people go, well done, you know, rushing off to film the next thing. I was going, Did I say the lines? Because I had no memory of
it.
Yeah,
no memory.
Complete blur. I went in, I came out. What happened?
Everyone's going, well done. You're like, thank God. Thank
much
God.
Much adrenaline. That is a lot.
Oh, I can't. I mean,
live television.
I was there for the live core. I didn't direct any of it. I mean, just the buzz was amazing. But you were just thinking, oh my. Because as we know, so you've got sets and you've got locations. So,
yes.
So people are running, you know, between. And as we know, so much goes wrong with lighting and everything because everything's studio lit from the top that you go to do it live is what a risk. But they all pulled it off amazingly.
I just feel that soap is such an honourable form of drama. When I was there, we were discouraged from saying soap. It demeaned it. It was, what was a drama series? No, drama serial or continuing drama. There
yes.
you go. Yes, there is a snobbery about drama. And I'm sorry, but a lot of the stuff that goes on later that's supposed to be much posher is just posher people.
Yeah, yeah, no.
With more time to make the film and more money. And that definitely creates a different product. The product that I liken it to a really fabulous glossy mag. It does the same thing. You read a story, it's a little bit salacious, but it makes you worry about that person problem. It takes you out of your problems. Somebody told me this is how she felt about soap.
Yeah.
She worried about Deirdre and Ken. When she was doing the washing up, looking out the window, instead of worrying about her own marriage, which
was
collapsing.
Well, do you remember when Deirdre went to prison? And there was a whole
darling.
There was a huge nationwide, you know, outpouring for Deirdre to be released from prison. She's not. But no.
Anyway, that's that.
Yeah. So did you always know you wanted to act?
No.
Is it in your, no.
The stereotype of an actor, one I hate.
Yes.
Which is an element of truth, which is why I hate it, is when you're at home, you're over dramatic, you pull focus, you make dramas when you should just be, you know, and everything's about you. Horrible. To be that person. So I've done everything, but you know, don't ask anybody in my family how we're not done.
Yes, yeah. Cut to the drama in there.
It's a difficult trait.
It is. I always
the say life that. Is a difficult life. It's uncomfortable. I can't get work hardly at all at the moment. I have to interview from home, but I know that at any second I'm gonna pack that suitcase and I won't be back for three months.
I know, yeah.
If I am one of them.
I don't think people realise how tough it is. And also
what
I
will little Nora do?
I know the toughest thing though for me as an actor is the rejection as well, because not any other career. You build it like me. I wouldn't go, you know, you can be at whatever stage of your, you can be a famous actress, but still go for auditions and not get them. And that, I think, will always be a...
I just burped.
Did you? No, I don't think we picked that up, Denise.
It's
sorry.
I've had no
sorry, listeners, if you did.
Hang on, I'm starving.
She's going to have a ginger biscuit this week. But no, I think that's what's...
Listen, you can't make... Every job has got its hazards.
It's tough, yeah. But I think for actors, it is particularly tough because... They're judged all the time. You're never not judged. You're constantly being judged.
During Corrie, I covered all my mirrors in my house to try to stop me becoming obsessed with how I looked.
Right, yeah.
Because you see yourself too often. And I also, when I got the job, because I hadn't got much experience in front of camera, got Michael Caine's book on acting to camera. I was reading it in the green room saying, it'll be all right in 3 weeks.
Everyone's like, God. So let's look at some of your theatre credits. You've done absolutely loads of theatre. The Threepenny Opera, Art of Success, King Lear. Oh, no, I have to say, your first role, which I love, I think I'm right in saying, was the town crier in The Emperor's New Clothes. Mm. And apparently you still know your first line.
Oh, yes. Make way for the Emperor. He is about to step forth from the palace and he demands you to... Possibly admire, not sure that much. His new clothes!
I mean, that's incredible.
With a school bell, I mean.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, no wonder you're where you are after that
absolutely.
Performance. Town crier. You might be remembered for Corrie, you'll always be remembered for the town crier.
Yeah.
TV-wise, like we said, loads of stuff, including Bad Girls, A Touch of Frost, Dangerfield, The
Bill. Pilot of A Touch of Frost.
The pilot of A Touch of Frost. Oh, wow. So that was, and again, we're talking...
With David Jason going, oh, I don't know whether they're going to take me seriously after all these years of Only Fools and Horses. If you knew what worries we all have back here.
And he was like that, was he? That's amazing.
We're all.
Yes, yeah.
We all don't know. At what point do you go, I'm safe?
Yeah.
I was going to devote the rest of my life to acting and a pandemic happened. At what point did you get saved?
Well, I suppose Jason doing that is like going to Corey. It's like he was so renowned for what he did that that's a huge risk to do something of a different genre because it could have fallen flat on its face.
That's right, because he's an inspector and he's got to be taken seriously. Yeah. And his worry is that if he goes to move something, because he's a very fine physical clown. I mean, that outtake. Not an outtake. This is fine. I love pratfalls as well. Yeah. Do you?
And it also, yes. Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, God. And do you love doing all that stuff?
I love all physical that comedy. I mean, I love, that's why I love Jennifer Saunders so much, because I think she's
I'm watching Now Fab again from the beginning at the moment.
She's a master falling down the stairs.
Oh, my God, I'd forgotten
and
series
I did a
one.
Scene, I copied a scene from Ab Fab in Emmerdale with Matthew Wolfenden, who plays David.
Who's Fab?
When he was drunk, and we did the scene where the cab driver opened the door and he just fell straight out
on
the floor.
I love him.
Which is what, yeah, I love him. I love
him. Comedy is very time consuming.
Yes, oh God, yeah.
Jesse Lawrence, because we skipped that. Well, at the moment, I'm out in the West Indies.
I know, we've got everywhere.
I'm going to meet Jesse Lawrence soon. Jesse Lawrence
I love Jesse Lawrence.
So don't we all love Jesse Lawrence? And quite rightly, we
and
should...
you work with her, and you're good friends with her, aren't you?
I am indeed. She is one of the unsung goddesses. She is one of the legends. There are other ones we can go on, but
whose line is it anyway? Oh my God!
That's not all she's capable of.
Oh, I know, but she's the master of comedy.
But not just comedy, of acting.
Yeah.
So her take on acting is a drama, right? So that's complicated. You've got to nitpick it and, you know, recreate it so that everybody believes it. Comedy is on top. I think Prunella Scales thinks this too. And it's very fun. It's like with a chisel, isn't it? Getting the laugh and not getting the laugh.
Yes.
You expect the laugh, no laugh.
Yeah.
Somehow, magically, timing is everything, isn't it? So it's another thing on top of the drama.
Yes.
And also, with comedy lines, there's usually only one way to deliver them that's the best way to say this funny. And it's your job to work it out.
Yes. No, yes.
And on telly, you've got to do that without a live audience. This takes a lot of skill.
No, it does. It does, actually, totally. And you really, especially in soaps as well, again, because a lot of comedy is written that's not for, and you have to, I mean, I've done so many things where you've had to really change things.
In a story, if you can make people laugh and then hit them with something really sad, you can get to them deeper.
Yes. Oh, yes. God, yeah. Yeah. So let's move that. We have to get to Queer as Folk because...
we have to.
So now, Queer as Folk is, and this statement is one of the most groundbreaking, probably the most groundbreaking television series ever, I think. I mean, not just at the time. There's not been a show like that. I mean, it broke every boundary and smacked it in your
face.
You know,
I've got the original scripts.
Have you? Wow.
In my loft in this house. Of course I do.
Wow.
Of course I do.
I mean, you must have read that.
I don't hold on to a lot, but I
you must have read that thinking. I mean, surely every cast member who read that went, God, this
I was only on like page 6 and I had to ring up and my agent and say, what's an AG and what's rimming? I mean, you know.
Oh, I remember the scenes, but it wasn't just because I was thinking I was gay at the time, but it was just shocking anyway, because it was, I mean, it was, you know, with you've had a lesbian kiss on Brookside and then suddenly you've got this though, which was no.
And the culture then, I'm often saying to younger people, we have to remember how it was then. Why it was groundbreaking was because it hadn't been done.
Yeah.
And so you don't know what the reaction's going to be.
Yeah.
I read it, I knew it was brilliant. There's no question. It was brilliant without any of the filming. The paperwork.
Yeah.
The characters. And it wasn't because it was gay.
No.
It was because it was so well written. It's brilliantly written.
And for anyone that's young and not... So it's 1999. I would say gay-wise, it was still very different than it is today. People were out, but it was still a... You know, it was still not as accepted as it is today.
The thing is that writers lead people by the nose, don't they? So if one character's got to meet another character and the writer says, oh, there they are in the street, right, fine, we accept it, dush. But if you're desperately trying to find someone, it's a big drama, do you know what I mean?
You
a good writer ups the stakes all the time.
And Russell T. Davis is the best.
Well, there are great... I'm watching Shameless again at the moment as well.
Yeah.
Back-to-back with Ab Fab. I've watched so much.
But it's a great time to catch up on that. But
he's
amazing.
These are amazing storytellers. So it's going to be good, but you have to remember that the culture then was that the authorities, if you like, the people who are putting their neck online by broadcasting it, are apprehensive about it.
Yes, I'm sure they were.
So let's take our sponsor who pulls after the first episode. And that was because they were worried about a backlash. And almost the whole way through, I watched it as it came out. and we didn't get huge ratings. I watched it, I thought it was brilliant, but it wasn't discussed a great deal. I just knew, I was living in London at the time, that when I got on the tube, all the people, the guys in suits who peeked out from behind the
newspaper,
you go, you too.
I know.
My mother rang me and said, your father's watching. And I said, I can't tell you how depressed I feel. And then after the first one, she said, well, he went to the toilet and did the crossword. I said, I'm so glad. She said, they like prostitutes. I said, I know, Mum, I know. And but the fact was that Joe Public was... It was like, yeah, what's the big news? You know, a good drama with gay people and good.
Yes. And it became, I think it built over time, didn't it? Because it was just one of those cult classics as well that everyone watched it after that.
It picked it up. And, yeah, and yeah. A friend of mine who said, and when are they going to do this for straight drama?
Yeah.
Which, yes, of course, now they've done. Do you know what I mean? It was so fresh, wasn't it?
It was groundbreaking. It was alternative. The way it was filmed was different. What it tackled was different. It was in your face. You know, it wasn't at all big. You know.
But Russell does it time and time again. I mean, it's not everybody's taste. I loved Years and Years. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, no, I loved Years
and Years. But it's a predictiveness. But artists often do that. Okay, so of course we want to sensationalise when we do drama. Of course we do. It's drama.
Yeah.
But also we've got a duty to do. Do you know what I mean? To be more realistic. And Russell's really good at that.
Yes, yeah.
Isn't he?
Oh, his it was very real. Yeah. And the guys in that obviously have done amazingly. Aidan Gillen has done...
Aidan.
Wow.
I've got so many Aidan stories.
Wire.
I've got so many stories about all of them.
And Charlie, who I was in love with, I mean, say that he was nice, isn't he?
So he came in with my first ever script. He'd been filming and he was filming some very naked handjobby in the back room urgent scene. And I had seen that on the on the call sheet, it said that they were to have flesh-coloured pants. So I was extremely keen to know how
they looked,
how it had gone. I believe they wore the pants briefly on their heads. Anyway,
I must rewatch it. You know what? After this, I'm going to rewatch early Corries. I need to watch. I want to rewatch Queer as Folk.
I just rewatched it, having not watched it for something years.
Yeah, no, I do want to have... Just bringing up all the characters we talked of earlier.
It's fresh
like,
as a daisy.
God, I forgot. I love you. If you're in a bad mood, you can choose to watch an episode of AmpFab and it will cheer you up. What can we... We need to bring back stuff that you've been in before, but you're dead in most things, aren't you?
You're dead in most things. On that note, I think
I know.
By me, it's been lovely.
I'm running away from the mic for everyone because I didn't get the little thing for you, which is...
Get a medal.
A little soap from the box.
I do get you soap.
You
do. Is it going to be soap?
It's a nice smelly soap.
Oh my goodness.
And now, the final question is, which character in either of the soaps you've worked would you give that to wash away their sins?
Denise.
Yeah, I was going to say, probably
she's never done anything right in her life. And what is she doing at the moment? I am enraged.
That's where you need to be heading back to the cobbles, isn't it?
This is not part of, you know, people talk about that. And I thought about, what's Lee going to say? It's never in my control.
No.
As I've been told by soap people that it's all led by story. And if a story needs you, then that's when they call on you. And if they don't need that story, then they don't call on
you. And I think Ken Barlow's in the bloody... He's not even on Coronation Street anymore, is he? They've moved them all to a retirement home.
Oh, don't. I did think Bango's my pension plan.
Yes, I thought, yeah. Although you could cause havoc in the retirement home. Put Denise in there and that's a spin-off drama. Well, Denise, it's been amazing to see you on that note. Thank you.
Bye-bye, Steve.
Thank you so much to Denise, one of the people in my career that I've been very starstruck by when I started to work with them, but we're now really good friends. And Denise is the start of the 60th anniversary of Coronation Street, and I have got so many amazing guests coming up for you. Thank you to David Stevens, as usual, and the Bothy for their editing and technical wizardry. Have a safe week, everyone, and come back next week for the start of Corrie's Happy Birthday Celebrations.